Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
And I am producer Dave.
Vegan, you mean?
Sometimes.
First up, we are a man short tonight. Matthew is not with us.
No, so, you know, we've both, you know, behind the scenes been talking to Matthew a bit this week. And Matthew is just going to be taking a short break from WAB for a few weeks. Just needs to prioritise his own mental health and his family. And we look forward to welcoming him back as soon as he's ready. What that does mean is this week you've got myself and Chris. We're going to be running through a few bits as usual. Chris, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Sending you lots of love, Chewy, by the way. Miss you already.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure the listeners will as well. But I don't know why we're doing that, because I'm sure you probably won't fucking listen. So, but yeah, all the best, mate. Now, you spent the weekend in Birmingham. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
A nice weekend.
I did, yeah. Not content with spending most weekends and time in the city. I thought I'd head back just for a weekend in the Jewellery Quarter. A few bars, restaurants. All very nice.
Well, you weren't with us last week when we were recording because you were at a vegan gardening patch or something
like that. Also known as the HMV Vault in town. I ditched you for Yard Act. Sorry.
Yard, that's it. Vegan Yard.
Yard Act, yeah.
Vegan Yard.
Apologies. Act. So back this week though.
It's like we've been a man short for a few weeks.
We'll get back to three people.
Yeah, we will.
Absolutely. But I think before we maybe start looking back at the last couple of games, we've had quite a few 15-second opinions, which I think we'll take a listen to now. Yeah.
I was going to say happy birthday.
Well, I've been waiting, to be fair.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
15-second opinions.
15-second opinion.
Hi, lads. What the fuck was that on Tuesday night? I cannot believe how bad Blues were. But I can forgive poor performances. I can forgive the lack of ability. But I cannot forgive the lack of desire. Middlesbrough, a team in mid-table, fighting for every ball. The hunger they were showing to put their head on the end of things, win the second ball, put their foot in, make something happen. Complete opposite to Blues, who were walking around the pitch, going through the motions. I'm not convinced that these players even know that we're in a relegation scrap, because that was not a team fighting for their life. Now, these players have to stand up and be counted now. And I know you've discussed it in the past and you disagreed with it, but these players have to take a lot of the blame for the way this season has gone as well. Rooney's long gone. What's their excuse now? You know, if something doesn't change quickly, we're heading to League One. So let's just hope that something changes and quickly, because, you know, we all know what happens next. But, you know, as always, keep right on.
Right, lads, Chris O'Brien here again. Sound very ill. Shouldn't have gone last night, to be fair. But my son wanted to go to his first night match. So, obviously, dosed myself up, went to the game, and it was atrocious. I mean, every aspect of it, there was no fight. Players didn't even want to throw in to receive to them. Namely, JJ was absolutely horrendously bad, and so was Ethan Laird. I'd go as far as saying the only player that played well or came out of it okay was probably Lee Buchanan Drama. We've got nothing, no fight, just nothing. That was meant to be a must-win game, a game in hand. Everyone was actually, okay, I'll be on 41 points. Come Watford, win that. You know, we'll be okay again. But you know what? I don't think we are. I think sadly this is our year, and the way it's gone, Mowbray's ill, so we've got no proper leader. We had 3.5 months of ruin, 2 wins in 15, absolutely atrocious. We look like we folded. We've just got no confidence and no belief. It even seems like there's no pals in the team. No one's fighting for each other, let alone themselves and their own career. Sorry for the rant, but that's how I felt last night went. Abysmal.
Should Duke start against Watford, or should we persevere with bringing him on after 60 minutes? Stansfield and Duke up top give Stansfield someone to work off.
Hi gents, Alex Hurley from Sutton Coldfield. 15 second opinion about the Middlesbrough game. We were just so poor with the ball. It was a bit like the whole game, I thought. Just nothing came off. Misplaced passes, we couldn't secure the ball, first touch wasn't there, made the wrong decisions, when we did make the right decision, we didn't execute it properly. I think it's probably the worst game I've seen Laird have for us, just constantly giving it away. He wasn't the only one. Again, as per Hull, you've only got one or two, maybe three players who can come off that pitch saying they've played to a championship standard. What I don't get is people saying, oh, there's no fight. Oh, the attitude's all wrong. I don't buy that. They were trying, they kept going, but they just weren't good enough. I honestly think it'll turn. We know that they're better than that when they play to their potential. We're obviously missing Mowbray and need him back because he gives them a lift and he's a leader. I'm not saying anything against Venus. I feel sorry for him. He didn't ask for this position that he's in at the moment. It's really hard, but it's fine margins in football and these runs always come to an end. Things will turn. Watford's a winnable game. It won't be easy. I'm concerned, but I'm not too pessimistic. I still think we're going to be okay.
Here's my 15-second opinion, lads. Last week, I said, I'm not worried because we're not out of games. We're still in games. We weren't last night. We were absolutely shy. And against Millwall as well. Two teams that were there for the taking. They weren't good enough. They weren't anything special. Should have been beating them both. Can't believe we didn't. I'm trying to remember if this is how I always feel this time of year. Or whether or not I'm overreacting. And maybe we will pull ourselves out of it, but I can't see it. As it stands, something's got to change. I wouldn't be opposed to an interim manager. Let's see.
Can't be even thinking about interim managers. It's just going to undermine everything Mowbray's set up or trying to set up. I know it's difficult, but as fans, we've got to get together and support them because that's all we can do. We'll be all right. Safe as houses. Keep right on.
What do you think? Is it all going to be okay? Are we safe as houses?
Who built the house? Is it one of the three little pigs and they build it out of straw?
I mean, I think a lot of those opinions kind of mirror how we all felt about the last couple of games, except the last one, which was blindingly optimistic.
Do you know what, though? There are contrasting opinions all the way through there, and it's really interesting to see. So one person said, I wouldn't be adverse to, I think that was Ben, I wouldn't be adverse to an interim manager. The next guy comes on, interim managers are completely out of the question. Now, that's where I have been the whole way through Mowbray being missing. I don't think there's any benefit to bringing in another manager, getting them to play another style of football potentially or to start again when you've got Mowbray's number two. However, at the moment, it just feels like the players are... It's like kids with a supply teacher when the main teacher's been off. They were all right for a couple of weeks. And now, there's just something not right. The last couple of games, something isn't right. Ben was saying we were in games. In the Southampton game, we were in it. The Ipswich game, we were in it. And he's spot on. We were in games. The last couple of games, we've just not really been in them at all.
So what do you think? What do you think's happened? What do you think's changed? Because I can't remember a collective performance as bad as this week in a long, long time.
I think both performances were bad. I think we look back at Millwall and that was bad. The first half especially was dire. We should have been coming out and we should have been going, right, we've got the quality to control this game, create opportunities, put you to the sword. We didn't do it. Essentially, we lost the 0-0. Because we had one chance, the Jay Stansfield chance on his weak foot. And again, last night, we lost the 0-0. And we just haven't been creating and playing in the same way that we had been previously. And I know that they miss Mowbray. That was mentioned in there as well. You can see that they miss him. He's obviously a massive figure to them. Like last night, looking at Venus in the dugout, he looked like he missed Mowbray. You look at Mowbray when he was around. He stood right on the edge of the technical area. He's involved in games. He's there for the players to look to be guided through games. He's not there. So is it that run of games has not their belief and that they've just completely lost their belief in themselves, and there's no Mowbray there when they look over to guide them and get them back on track?
I mean, ultimately, that's not going to change in the short term, is it? So, you know, are we talking that we want to be, we think that Venus should be getting some sort of support, you know, not necessarily bringing in someone, a temporary or assistant manager, as I know as has been floating around, but actually just bringing him in additional support?
Like a coach?
Yeah.
Another coach to come in. I don't think they need another coach. I think that they've got enough coaches. Training is pretty much unaffected, other than having Mowbray around as the man, the guy with the management skills that he's got, the way that he puts his arm around people and has those discussions with them. So I think training's relatively unchanged. It's just the fact that they haven't got him there. And like I said earlier, is it an element of the teacher's off, there's a supply teacher in? You always dick about for a supply teacher.
But there's dicking about, and then actually the, you know, actual realization that we could be going down. I mean, sure.
Yeah, half of this squad though are out of contract in the summer.
Yeah.
Or their loans end or whatever else. They don't give a shit, do they?
So you think it could be down to almost like a discipline kind of thing?
Potentially. Like they've things haven't been working out for them. And at this point now, have they lost a bit of faith and lost a bit of desire as well for some of them? And it's hard for one or two players. So people were saying there, Buchanan's the only one to really come out of it with credit. And to be fair, he was shouting at people. You could see that the effort was there from him, and he was getting frustrated with other people.
I think even Bakuna, actually, you know, when he came on, you know, he added quite a bit and was trying to drag things in the right direction. But I think, yeah, you know, you're right, when so many of the team just seem not even there, it's frustrating to see how going into the weekend things are gonna change.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether part of it, I'm not a, what's the word? I can't think of the word, but when you sort of understand people's mentalities and read their body language and stuff, I can't think of what that type of person would be in a job, but you get what I mean, where it's like you look at someone and you can go, right, I can sort of read from you that this is why you're acting that way. You sort of tells in your body language. Body language reader, the job. But I'm not like that. So it could be any number of things from the players. I think, personally, I just think that they've got no confidence, and they haven't got the guy there who's going to pick them up.
Yeah, I think what's frustrating is we've seen, you know, pretty much this collection of players play so, so much better, which I think just makes the last couple of games so much more difficult to accept, really.
I know what you're saying. And I think, again, with the contrasts in the 15-second opinions as well, the fact that some people are on there saying the players aren't putting any effort in, they're not trying, and then other people are saying they are trying, it's just not working. And I think last night, I don't know, it's whether they're just not sticking to a game plan or they're abandoning it and they haven't, again, that guidance. But I don't know, but it is very frustrating.
Well, last night it just seemed there was no game plan. You know, it just seemed that there was no plan
A. It just passed them by a little bit.
Yeah.
But we know that's not the case. They will have gone out there with a game plan. Mowbray's watching training and having an input. So it's not at training, sorry, that he's watching videos of training. They've clearly got a game plan and it's just not being executed when they go out there. It was a bad performance. I'm not sure. I think it was mentioned in there that Borough were fighting for everything and there was more desire from Borough. I didn't really see that. I thought it was like a dull 0-0 last night. I mean, they'd probably be expected to be showing a bit more desire than us because, well, no, we should be, but they've got a squad of players that they're probably going to be building and adding to whilst they're going for the playoffs this season. So it could potentially be a Premier League season for them next season. Whereas we've got half a squad that are leaving and they don't give a shit if we get relegated.
Yeah. I think ultimately Borough didn't offer too much last night themselves. Like you said, you know, it felt like losing a 0-0 draw. Other than the goal and a couple of shots, you know, which Ruddy dealt with, you know, I think they were there. They could have been there for the taking.
Yeah, on the goal, actually, I made a point last night that I think the nerviness or nervousness, anxiousness of the supporters probably won't have helped in that situation where Pritchard received the ball and fans sort of got on him straight away, like, get rid of it! And I think it was because of what happened with Roberts just minutes before, and it had put everyone on edge. And if we're going to try and play out from the back, you have to, even the fans have to have a calmness. But now we're a point above the relegation zone. It's very hard to say, be calm when we're trying to play out from the back, when Mark Roberts is on the ball in the back four, because this is what we're going to do as a mentality. And it's like, yeah, but we've seen how many shit goals we've conceded throughout the season from us trying to play out from the back, and we've seen how bad it is. So at this point now, I'm not sure whether it's right, we're not going to play out from the back anymore. We need four or five wins out of the last nine games to guarantee it, probably four. And we're just going to go back to basics. We're going to put Juki up front, which was mentioned on there as well, and play him with Stansfield off him. We go long, we go direct, we play wingers. We have a solid back line who aren't encouraged to play the ball out. They're just there to defend. And do we switch it up and just go, right, we're just going to consolidate now?
So I think we know that, you know, Juki isn't going to, you know, be doing 90 minutes, is he? So, I mean, what are your thoughts? Do we start with him? Do we start with him in Stansfield, or do we view him as a player that we bring on at 60, 50 for the rest of the game?
That's what was mentioned. And at this point in time now, that's what I was just saying. Like, do we just scrap what we've been trying to
do? So you'd like to see him start?
I think if we decide to change the mentality, he has to.
I think in terms of that mentality, and just quickly going back to the Pritchard thing the other night, you know, when you look at playing out from the back, we're going to, you know, there's going to be mistakes. We're going to see things like, but I think the thing which was frustrating last night is when there was a mistake, it's just the freezing and the stopping and the not then trying to recover from that mistake. You can forgive mistakes happening. They're going to happen, but it's how you react to it. And just to see someone
stand there and watch. Yeah. I agree with you, and I've made the point myself in the past. Although the only defence that I'll offer on that is that he had no chance of catching back up with them.
No, of course he didn't. But like it's almost visually
put the
message
in to try. Yeah. Show the work rate. I get you. The other things that were to mention in there, Cov on his deathbed, still making it down to St Andrews for his lad's first night game. And
what a first night game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not a great one. You don't have to apologise. It wasn't our fault. Cobb also mentioned that it was a must win. And so I've heard both sides of this. There's must win and there's free hit. And I'm not sure that it's... it was either, I think if anything was a must win, it was probably the Millwall game. And it was probably more a must not lose, and we lost it. And that, for me, that was probably more to keep us in contention, or to keep them in contention with the relegation battle, because it is a classic six-pointer. Because we've been defeated, they've got the 3 points moved away. And I think it's a shame that we just couldn't. Like, I think we should have gone at them a bit more, and there was just we didn't offer anything, did we?
No.
That was the frustration at Millwall. Last night, I could understand it a little bit more if we were nervy and a bit worried, but we had a lot of the ball last night. We had a lot of opportunities to open things going forward.
And I think that's what we didn't do, did it? I think you could sense that frustration with, you know, we had that possession, but there was just, you know, there was just nothing coming into box. There was no runs into the box. We just, again, it comes back to almost feeling like there was no game plan. Yet, we, you know, of course there must have been. It's...
shit.
Yeah, it is.
Shit.
I mean, and we're looking at now, what, is it about 9 games left?
No, I think it's 9 games left. And I think we're probably 4 or 5 games that we need to probably win to put ourselves into that safe zone.
Yeah.
And that's a tough ask when, like, is it 4 or 5 games that we've won in the last God knows how many games?
And I think exacerbating things almost, you look at the bottom half of that table, you know, even 3 points, even 6 points isn't going to, you know, get you much out of the mix.
Well, that's the thing. It's so bonkers at the moment that everyone's so close and teams are winning games. But when you looked at it a few weeks ago and it was like, oh, if we get 2 wins, then we'll be mid-table. Now, the teams that were below us have leapfrogged us with a few wins. And we need to sort of get those couple of wins to drag them back into it. It's certainly going to be an interesting time the next few weeks. The thing for me is that we were stood there last night and we were talking about how we feel. Do we feel like we're in a relegation battle? And we felt more nervous, more tetchy before, and haven't this season. We don't feel worried or concerned about relegation. And that's worrying.
I think it's literally only in the last few weeks that I think my kind of optimism has kind of started to shift to the point where, you know, it's almost a starting looking over your shoulder, really, seriously, isn't it? I think, and that's probably similar for a lot of Blues fans, that it's starting to sink in now that, you know, we could be in genuine trouble.
Yeah, I'd been sort of driven on by the performances that we'd been in games, that we'd been really looking like, it looked like when we were going to come up against Millwall that we can beat them. We can go there. And like I predicted last week, I think I said 3-1 as a prediction. And my thinking was, we'll get one early. They'll try and attack us and it'll open things up. And yeah, they'll probably score from a set piece, which they did. But we'll have had a few goals. But we didn't seem to play like we had been playing.
And what's disappointing, I think, as well, is we've gone behind quite a lot this season and have brought it back on a number of occasions. But I think for one of the first times last night, we went behind and I just couldn't see us kind of. I had no faith that we were going to be able to get that goal, get that second goal.
Yeah, it was quite a, going back to the three pigs, huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
For a long time last night. It's concerning. It's concerning, and Saturday is suddenly a very big game because I think Huddersfield play Rotherham, so that could be bottom three if we don't get something out of that and they get a result. So concerning. If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share, and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys. We'll
Right, let's try and move on to something slightly more optimistic. Your morning runs.
Yeah, my morning runs.
How are they going? So, how are they going? Two now, yeah?
Yeah, two up till now. So for anyone who hasn't seen, BCFC Foundation have put a team in for the, is it the AJ something? Great Birmingham Run. It's the Great Birmingham Run, but it's sponsored by someone, but I don't know. AJ Bell, there you go. The AJ Bell Great Birmingham Run 10K. So the BCFC Foundation have put a team in to run it. They've basically opened it up to any Blues fans that want to enter and asked us to try and raise some money for them. So me having not done a run since November last year, well, one, but it was like a pissy one, decided when I was in bed ill the other day, oh yeah, I'll put my name down for this. Why not? Just twice as far as I've ever run before. Yeah, give it a go.
Again, you know, let's quickly reference back to Matthew here. The one person that we do need really on talking, our resident running expert, isn't with us this week. So we have to have me talking nonsense about running instead, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I had some advice off him. So my idea was, right, I've got to put a plan together. The couch to 10K, the couch to 5K plans, like 8 weeks or so, and they're couch to 5K. Then there are couch to 10K ones, but they're like 12 weeks or 15 weeks. I've got 8 weeks to do this. Bear in mind that it is proper couch to 10K.
I was hoping so, your plan was just going to be, I'll do it on the day.
I know that. So my missus turned around when I told her about this, and she went, you're not doing that. And I was like, yeah, I am. I was like, I've signed up to it. I'm going to do it. No, you might die. Genuinely, that's what she turned around with.
You can't die, because then we'll lose another member of the WAB podcast.
Yeah, but then Chewy will be back by then. So it'll still be two. It genuinely could kill me, because I'm not in great shape at the moment. But that's a positive, because hopefully this is going to help me. I'm determined that I'm going to do this. I'm dieting at the moment, so I'm eating better. I'm going out on these runs to train. On the plan that I was on about then, Chewy had some input into it. I've got another mate who's a Blues fan. Zeke's, hi mate. He lives in Devon or Cornwall. I think it's Devon. Now, I'm going to piss some Devon and Cornish people off with that.
It's basically the same part of it's the same thing.
Yeah, he lives down there, and he runs like ridiculous lengths just going out and, oh, I'm gonna go for a run, and then runs 8K like it's nothing. The same as Chewy, like out does like 14K for shits and giggles. I can't do that. So at the moment, if anyone's following the progress, I am doing interval running to doing like 2 minutes running, 2 minutes walking, so that I can actually get my breath back. At the moment, it's going okay. But yeah, thank you, Chewy, Zeke's, and also Sean Rush, who's head of physical performance at the Blues, because he had an input on it as well. But yeah, thank you everyone who's helped put that together. Next week, this week's quite tame. Towards the end of next week, it gets up to 5 minute runs, which it sounds like when people are running for an hour, it sounds like nothing. But for me at the moment, that's quite daunting.
How are you doing it? Are you getting up in the mornings and doing it? Or
yeah, so I'm getting up and going out before work and nice and early. No, actually, it feels good to be doing. To be fair, when I was training before, and got to a point where I was doing around 5K, I really enjoyed it, but I just let myself go so much. But I don't like running.
I saw your post about this, and I saw your planner, saw your little face on the Monday. And
yeah, the faces are a face from that day that's going to be stuck on each one that I complete. Rather than just ticking it off, that's going to be how I feel. So when I start smiling on them, you know that I'm enjoying them a bit more.
And I saw the first one. I can't remember what the expression was. And
tongue out, knackered.
and I thought, you know, maybe I should do this. And I looked at it for a while and I thought about it. And then I thought, am I going to go and discuss this with the current Mrs. Jackson and see whether this is a good idea? I didn't. I just went to bed for a nap instead.
You didn't go in and say, oh, sorry, Miss Jackson, but I'm off in a few weeks to go running. I am for real.
Had a lifetime of that, my mum has, believe me. No, and I'll tell you why I won't be doing it, is I hate running and everything about running, and I'm crap at running. And while it's obviously for a fantastic cause, I'm just shit at running and despise it. Now, if the club was ever to get involved in anything swimming related, be all over that, I'd smash that. But no, I think
why don't you organise your own sponsored swim? You do a 10K swim?
Probably not, but you know, I mean, you know,
well, I can't do a 10K run, so you can do a 10K swim and I'll do a 10K run. How's that sound? You could swim the canals of Birmingham.
I think you're advised pretty much not to get in the canals, although there is swimming in some of the reservoirs and lakes around the city. I am not expecting anyone to know, I am one of those kind of open water swimming wankers. So,
Aquaman.
Got the hair for it. And the beard, just not any of the physique.
But you're not friendly with the fish because they're the only thing that you eat, aren't they?
Kurt Cobain said it was okay.
But yeah, just moving back onto it, honestly, thank you everyone who's supported me, be that retweets, likes, shares, and of course donations, and everyone who's sponsored me, thank you very much, and please keep them coming.
So it's,
if you can.
So it's not a race, obviously, but are you going to beat Watson?
Probably not. No, probably not. And I, do you know what I don't like doing? I really struggle with it. I really struggle with the begging side of things, because essentially what you're doing is you're begging for people to give you money for a great cause. And I don't like that. I had a run in November and I had to like ask people to sponsor me then, and now it's this run that's in May and I've got to do it again, and I don't like asking for money or asking people to help out.
I think I'm happy sponsoring people once I know they've done it. So if you finish the 10K, if you don't die, I'll sponsor you.
I'm going to finish the 10K. So I'm going to walk, I'm going to run it, or I'm going to walk it, or I'm going to crawl it. And if I die, someone will have a wheelbarrow to take me over the line.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do my part and come along with some cameras and at least take a photo with you.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Now, just before we go into the Watford game, we've got another one of these.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
So, Neil Moxley has been at it again.
It's hard to know where to start here, isn't it, really?
I don't understand. I really don't understand. So, he put out a tweet saying, apologies, backlash from mentioning certain things makes me uncomfortable providing updates. Now, that is obviously related to the backlash that he got on talking about bringing in an interim manager for Tony Mowbray, or talking about the health situation at the time. And people basically said at the time, don't speculate. There's no point. Like, report on it, fine, but don't speculate. He adds to this, makes me uncomfortable providing updates that I do have. So he's saying he has an update. It's Cheltenham. I'm off this week, so don't have to. I usually would. Not now. Shame for those decent Blues fans who wanted an update. Honestly, hypocrisy off the scale. Now, no one, everyone wants an update because they want good news. Nobody is like pushing for it. And if an update is going to come, it should come from the club. It should come from Tony Mowbray. That's it. There's no need to speculate anymore. They asked for privacy. They asked to leave it there. And it's just not happening. I don't know why it's still being talked about. Why and why put a tweet out suggesting that there's an update. But I can't say anything. I've heard something, but I can't say anything.
I think it was disappointing just because it felt like he was suddenly trying to make it about himself again.
Maybe. Maybe. I just don't know. But there was one really good response.
We can't say response because he's blocked anyone responding, so we're going to have to say quote tweets. But,
quote,
yeah.
Quote. So one lad, Jay, said, it must be good news. As if it wasn't, you'd have plastered it everywhere. And it's pretty spot on, I think. So I think this is the third visit. I think he's probably buying shares or buying an apartment over there now, isn't he? So have a good one, Max. When you've finished at Cheltenham, you can enjoy your trip to Cornea again.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Okay, on to the weekend, on to Watford at home.
Yeah, so as part of the new feature that we started adding last week with Millwall, we've gone to an opposition channel, Voices of the Vic, and we've got an opinion from Mike Duffy.
Hi guys, Mike here from the Voices of the Vic podcast, and I'm here today to talk to you about Birmingham against Watford this Saturday at St Andrews. Now, in terms of my thoughts on Watford so far this season, if you'd have offered me mid-table, I probably, at the start of the season, I probably would have took it. I'd have been like, okay, yeah, that's fine, because we're going through a bit of a transition. Up until recently, obviously, Valerian Ismail has been sacked, shock horror. But it looked like we were actually giving a manager a chance, and we were, you know, as far as we're aware, since the Pozzos took over, he's probably been the manager that's had the most sort of control over the squad, over the transfers, etc. So we actually thought, bloody hell, Mr. Pozzo's changing his way here. We went through a bit of a rocky spell sort of earlier on in the season, and we all thought he was going to get sacked then. And then the club did that brilliant thing where they were like, club statement, Valerian Ismail, and everyone thought, here we go, this is it. But they actually announced a contract extension. And then of late, we've picked up one win in 11 games, I think it is, and it is really toxic at the moment. And there's a lot of anger sort of thrown in the direction of Gino Pozzo, our owner. A lot of people want him gone. And Twitter and social media as a whole is a very toxic place on in terms of Watford. And if you boys, you know, take the lead or even win, you'll probably see a mass exit in the away stand and a lot of angry away supporters. But yeah, Tom Cleverley, his first game in charge, and you boys, I'm sure, will be giving him some stick after he's played for them like down the road from you. But I'm really intrigued to see, you know, maybe there were a lot of sort of rumours that Ismail had fallen out with a few of the players and lost the dressing room. So maybe we'll see some players finally start to play with a bit more freedom and a bit more about them. So hopefully that is the case. In terms of the expectations for the rest of this season, it might surprise a few people that are listening here, but it's to stay in the league. We are 7 points above the relegation zone. However, in the remaining 9 games left of the season, six of those sides are in the top 10 of the league. So we've got Leeds coming on Good Friday. We've got to travel to the Baggies on Easter Monday. We've got to travel to Portman Road to play Ipswich. We've still got to go to Southampton away. We've got Sunderland at home, Hull at home, Preston, they're flying at the moment. Got them to play as well. So, yeah, you can see why we're a little bit worried, and this weekend makes for a massive, massive fixture for us. And I know you boys probably won't like us to say that, but we are looking at this game thinking we have got to get 3 points and nothing more. In terms of where Birmingham need to watch out, I think he's been a bit inconsistent of late, but it's got to be Yasser Asprey. The guy's a joke, and you know, for all the sort of anger that Mr. Pozzo is getting directed at recently, one thing which we can give him and his scouting network credit for is finding these South American gems. Now, granted, they don't all come off, but you look at the likes of Richarlison, you look at João Pedro, and now Yasser Asprey. I believe he is going to be the next one that gets that big move. And he won't be with Watford next season, even if we stay in the league. He won't be. But, you know, I look back at games like Rotherham, where they've only won 3 times this season. We went there a couple of weeks ago, 0-0 written all over it. Maybe even Rotherham would have gone on to win it. But Yasser Asprey, the ball comes out to him on the edge of the box. He thinks, you know what, I'm just going to hit this. He hits it and it's a goal. And, you know, just magical stuff like that. And yeah, everyone, I know we lost the game, but everyone's seen the goal away at Norwich. If you haven't, go and check it out. It's an absolute joke of a goal. And that's what he's capable of. So it's all on Yasser. Well, not to put too much pressure on the kid, but he's got that ability in him. He could win a game for us on his own, no problem. So I would say that Yasser Asprey is probably one. We have got Tom Ince, who seems to have an incredible record against every Championship team. So I think his record against Birmingham City, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's played Birmingham the most in his career out of anyone. And I think he scored a few goals as well. But don't worry, guys, he doesn't seem to feature that much. But hey, who knows? You know, Tom Cleverley might like him. But Jake Livermore as well. He's another one who I'm sure will be getting a few boos when he touches the ball because of his links with West Bromwich Albion. But when he wants to, he can be a real sort of midfield general in the middle of the park and really boss the game and win those silly little fouls and everything else. So hopefully he's back, because I believe he was ill for the game against Coventry. And in terms of where I'm sort of a bit worried with Birmingham is Jay Sandsfeld and Lukas Jukovic. You know, Jukovic can do the simple stuff in terms of bullying the centre-backs and making himself a nuisance to try and win the ball in the air against, especially because we haven't got Wesley Hoot, who's suspended. He typically picked up a yellow card on the week where the cut-off would have sort of finished. So he's played every minute of every game so far this season, but then gone and got booked against Cov. So he'll not be playing. So it's either Matty Pollock, who's still quite inexperienced at this level, had a loan spell in League One, came from Grimsby in League Two, had a loan spell at Aberdeen as well, and hasn't really hit sort of... his career at Watford hasn't really taken off. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays alongside Ryan Porteous or whether it's Francisco Sierralta. But either of those aren't blessed with pace, as, well, not many centre-backs are. So I think that's where Jay Stansfield's going to get a lot of joy. If he can play on the shoulder of him, he could be in for a good day on Saturday, and that does worry me. I'm surprised as well that you've managed to keep hold of him. I thought Fulham might bring him back in January and maybe send him out on loan somewhere else. But yeah, I think those two, definitely. Dembele as well, he's someone who we're familiar with, we've been linked with in the past. We've also been linked with Ethan Laird and Dazelle from QPR. So, you know, a couple of names in that squad which Watford fans will be familiar of, and some really good players. So, you know, looking from the outside, looking in, it's definitely a case of you might have a good team of individuals, but it's that team togetherness which it looks like Blues might be struggling with. And in terms of the prediction for this weekend, you've probably already grasped it by now after 6 minutes or nearly 7 minutes of recording, that my accent is a familiar one with you boys. I am local, grew up in Solihull. So I have a lot of Birmingham City supporting mates, and a few text messages have been exchanged already in the lead up to Saturday, and I genuinely am worried. I'm not just saying this because I've been asked to do this by We Are Birmingham podcast, but I am genuinely worried because confidence is on the floor with Watford at the moment, and I know the same is for you boys. I know you had a defeat last night, your game in hand, which you'll be gutted about. I know a lot of people that went and said that it was absolutely a poor showing from Birmingham, but I really do worry. If Birmingham get the first goal on Saturday, then we are bang in trouble. But the only tiny glimmer of hope is that Tom Cleverley, he's interim manager, he knows the club, he's been captain of the club, he's been with us from a young age. I know he's had two spells, but he gets the club, he gets the ethos, he gets what it's about. And don't forget as well, he was captain even as recent as last season. So a lot of these boys that are still there from last season respect him because he was there. That was the captain. So he's got a lot of players on his side already. And it sounds like, from what we've heard, the players are very happy with the announcement of Cleverley as interim. So hopefully that will bring us a little bit of a little bit of glimmer of hope. But I am probably going to go for, in terms of score prediction, like I say, it's a must win for Watford, as it is with Birmingham as well. But I'm going to go with a closely contested 2-1 to Watford. But yeah, this is going to be quite a tight affair, I think. But yeah, thank you very much for having me on, chaps. And maybe we'll chat again next season. Cheers.
Thank you for that, Mike. Thank you for that very in-depth introduction into Watford for the weekend.
15-minute opinion.
it's interesting to like to have him go in so in depth though, because like I didn't know that that Hoad was suspended for the weekend, so that's like another moment of hope, knowing that they haven't got much pace at the back. You sort of look at how we can exploit that, and I'm sure that the coaches will have been watching things. It's fucking typical, isn't it, for Blues, that they sack the manager just before they play Blues. Yeah. It's like they couldn't have waited until we'd had the game against them. It was prior to us playing them.
I think the other thing, which I think you mentioned quite early on, was just the panic around a team which is, I think, 14th, isn't it?
Yeah. But like you said earlier on, they're on 45 points, and he said on there that they've got to play a lot of the teams in the top. I think you said it earlier, or we discussed it earlier, that this league at the moment, a run of bad results. And I mean, did he say they've only won one in 11 games, and it was against Rotherham?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, if you carry on that run of games, and the teams below you pick up points, you very quickly will get roped into it. But I mean, they're on 45 points, so I'm not sure. But I can understand their concerns, but
especially with the run in which they've got, those teams that you mentioned, I think, yeah, you know, it just shows quite how many teams are looking over their shoulder, concerned that you know, they're going to get dragged down right into it.
Hmm. I mean, him saying about a lack of pace for them at the back makes me think that we maybe need to be quite clever against them at the weekend. We need to, so we spoke about it earlier, do we need to scrap playing out from the back and trying to play football and go direct? Maybe we don't. Maybe we need to try and utilise our footballers as best we can. Not too many of them. Having the right balance, but trying to create opportunities, like Miyoshi can cause a lot of problems. Will Dembele be back from, he had stitches in his foot, so will they have healed? I mean, probably not. But again, can cause problems. You've got Bakuna, can create openings, and then you've got the pace of Stansfield. Can we exploit them at the back?
One of the things we briefly touched on earlier, again, which was highlighted just then, was the possible threat of Stansfield and Duke. together. I mean, you know, maybe that is a combination that we want to see if we are going to maybe change things up a little bit.
Maybe. I think if we go the Duke route, I think that it very much changes the style that we try and play. And I think that then means that there are less ball players in there, and you have a very defined line between defensive players and attacking players. In my opinion, you set up very solid to be defensively sound. Obviously, Deion Sanderson should be back,
yep,
because his suspension's over. Mark Roberts is likely out after going off injured last night. But yeah, do you set up with that solid defensive line, a defensive midfielder, and then allow a bit more creative freedom, and you have that very defined separation between the two? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how we line up, see who's in the selection. It genuinely wouldn't surprise me to see us go that way, but I think the mindset is that we're trying to instill this philosophy and we're going to stick to it. And that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, my gut feeling is we're not going to see major changes. I mean, I don't think we'll see Duke start. I think we may see him again during the game. But, you know, I don't think we're going to completely look to be starting from scratch.
No, I agree. So, with that in mind, quick prediction from you?
God, I mean, I don't want to sound like a breaking record here, but we fucking need 3 points. I think if we can improve on the last couple of games, I think we've got to be positive. I think we can, you know, you'd like to think, given what we've just listened to, we can go out there and try and get something positive. We've got to. I'm just going to have to stay positive and go 1-0. Stansfield.
Stansfield
smashing it in the top like we know he can. That's what we want to see.
So I've got a hope here, and it's not based on anything. But imagine that these players are suffering from not having Tony Mowbray around day to day. And Big Tone is sat at home and he's like, do you know what? I'm going to go and see the lads. They have a training session on Thursday, Friday or something, and he pops in and he goes into, they have their screen and they go through the game plan, and he has a little chat to them and gives them that bond that he's got with them reignites them. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's going the right way. No, I'm not going 4-0. I'm not going back 4-0. Just in terms of performance, that, you know, that happens, and he's not back in charge, but he's just going to see them and to speak to them, to encourage them. And I'm going to go 2-1. I think we need something from it. We've got to show more than we have been shown in the last couple of games. I'm going to go 2-1 Blues. And on that unfounded piece of positivity from the both of us, let's leave it there. We've got international break after the Watford game, and then on to QPR, haven't we? So let's leave it there and let's be positive. Let's be positive.
I mean, you know, I think we can't go much lower than this week. So we can only want to come back with a renewed sense of hope, optimism and positivity, yeah?
Absolutely. Right, everyone that's going, I hope that you get to enjoy the game, because I want to enjoy the game as well. Up the fucking Blues and keep right on.
Keep right on.